few years back, a photo from a swimming pool went viral online. At the foreground, there was an athletic swimmer putting his goggles on before a race. But it was what was going on in the background that made it an instant social media meme. It's a young man sitting slumped in his seat, his Haviana flip-flops kicked off his feet, head resting in his hands, elbows propped on his dry rescue float. This was one thoroughly bored lifeguard. And the reason? Well, that pool wasn't any old pool. These weren't the local municipal baths. This was Rio in 2016. And the tweet that went viral read, "If you feel useless today, remember somebody is working as a lifeguard at the Olympics." Admittedly, it's pretty funny. And somewhat true that standing watch when the likes of Michael Phelps and Adam Peaty are in the water may not provide the highest level of job satisfaction. But, as we'll discover, there's still a good reason for lifeguards to be present, even when the elites are in the pool. And of course, the job also extends far beyond the Olympic Games. Especially given that more and more of us, shall we say, non-elites, are taking up the sport. And while the pandemic prompted a flurry of pool closures that continue today, many defy this worrying trend by heading for a dip outdoors in lakes, rivers, lochs and seas. In the UK alone, over 4 million people participated in some form of swimming in 2023, and 500,000 of those were in open water. And yet, in a twisted irony, the pandemic also triggered a shortage of qualified lifeguards to keep us safe. And so, in this episode of Unsung, I thought it worth meeting some of the country's best lifeguards to discover why they do what they do and to see if we can't persuade a few more to follow their lead. This is Unsung, introducing the sports stars you don't know, telling the stories you can't miss. My name is Alexis James and this is In Deep, a day in the life of a volunteer lifeguard.
It's a very lovely community of water swimming, but we are all slightly weird.
Say hello to Faye Tennant, a self-confessed open water swimming nut who commemorates each major swimming milestone with some tribute ink.
So this is how weird I am. So I have all my swims tattooed on my arm. So these are all the swims that I really loved. So this that says Windermere. So
Faye happily shows me her tattoos that represent swims from all over the UK and even further afield. And she's keen to tell me about one of her favourite events.
We've got a few lakes in Norway. This is Henley Classic. So the Henley Classic is one of the oldest swims in the country. You swim at dawn along the Thames. That's crackers because I'm lifeguarding at that. And my briefing for that morning is 2:30 in the morning. Why would anybody with any semblance of sense in their brain do that?
And that, in essence, is what I'm trying to find out. Faye first got into open water swimming 17 years ago when this keen cyclist and runner wanted to try her first triathlon.
I did my first triathlon at Blenheim Palace, which is a beautiful triathlon. And once I started swimming outside, it was an absolute life changer. So I've never stopped swimming outside.
Then, one year, during a swim in the beautiful Lake District, she took her swimming odyssey to the next level.
On one of the occasions when we went to Windermere to do the swim, we were staying in the youth hostel at Ambleside, which is really beautiful. And all the lifeguards were staying there. Over breakfast one day, I was chatting to this lifeguard and I came away from that thinking, I want to do that.
Faye's love for lifeguarding has progressed to the point where she's now a qualified lifeguard trainer. She even trained her husband Andy so that he could come along and help at the same events. She's so passionate about lifeguarding that she's taken to collecting antiquarian books on the subject.
I was in some fusty old second-hand bookshop and I picked up a 1947 World Lifeguarding Society book, and it basically has got the same techniques in it.
It means that she's full of wise words and lifeguarding nuggets of wisdom, like...
A good lifeguard is a dry lifeguard.
And...
Always get out wishing that you'd stayed in, rather than that you stay in wishing that you've got... Get out thinking, oh, I could have done another lap or something like that. It's far, far better to do that and stay in and think, ah, shit, actually, I'm in trouble here.
And she delivers these pearls of wisdom at the biggest open water swimming event of the year, the very same event where she first felt the gravitational pull of lifeguarding, the Great North Swim. For the past few years every summer, Faye has travelled over 200 miles from her Northamptonshire home to lead a team of lifeguards to watch over the thousands of swimmers taking part.
You've got a group of people that come together. Generally, none of them knew each other. They are just making sure that every single person is not only safe, but enjoying it. and getting a really, really good experience. The lifeguards are the first people that the swimmers will see when they get in and when they get out. And it's tiring. They're not getting paid a single bean. You know, their motivation is not money.
Oh, yeah. And that's the other thing. They're doing this for free. Fear, who has a pretty interesting day job that we'll touch upon a bit later, doesn't earn a penny from it. She, like the other two dozen lifeguards who turn up in Windermere, are all volunteers for the Royal Life Saving Society, ensuring those taking part are in the best hands possible. In 2023, those volunteering for the RLSS clocked up a whopping 13,000 hours of voluntary lifeguarding.
So the Royal Life Saving Society provide a cohort of volunteer lifeguards. We usually like to have around about 20 lifeguards for the weekend. And actually, the weekend's fantastic because it feels like a reunion now that so many people come back together year after year, which is really fabulous and makes for a really good team. So everybody, including us, including me, we are volunteers for that weekend. And actually, this year, the Great North Swim coincides with National Volunteers Week, which is really quite a nice thing.
Fear's passion radiates from every pore, her arm itching for another tattoo to celebrate yet another successful season in the water. From her perspective, she knows exactly why she does all of this for nothing.
I'm a sort of serial volunteer, so I just keep saying yes to stuff. It's great. And it just brings a huge amount of experience of things that you never even think about. For me, my personal drive is that I want to help people love what I love.
But Fear was also keen to stress that everyone has their own varied and personal reasons for joining her on the lapping shores of Lake Windermere.
In our team, we've got people that come from a whole variety of different day jobs. We've got people that do other sort of volunteering roles for the Royal Life Saving Society. Some people that have got paid roles, but then do this on top of that as volunteers. And so, you know, people come from all sorts of different backgrounds and do it for all sorts of different reasons, really. So sometimes it's just interesting to understand that a little bit about people as well.
And what better way to understand people than by meeting them in the flesh? For midway through Fear's ode to the Great North Swim and those who volunteer to make it such a British success story, she invited me to come along and see it for myself, to meet the merry band of lifeguards that she coordinates and to find out firsthand why they're bucking a national trend and volunteering to be lifeguards, and during National Volunteer Week, no less. A weekend trip to the Lake District? Yeah, suppose that could work.
So there are thousands and thousands of people that do the swim over the weekend, absolutely thousands. But you'll see what a well-oiled machine the whole thing is when you come up.
And so, coming after the break, Unsung's first outside broadcast. On the 22nd of March, I'll be doing a live recording of the Unsung podcast at the Morpeth Book Festival in Northumberland. I'll be sharing some previously untold stories relating to my Unsung book and the podcast, along with an exciting new publication that I'll be revealing more about very soon. Tickets are only a fiver, and if nothing else, I'll give you some tips on the best pubs in Morpeth. To book, just hit the link in the show notes or head to ticketsource.co.uk and search for Alexis James. The show is called Not All Heroes Wear Kits and will take place at the Morpeth Library. I look forward to seeing some of you there. And if you can't make it that far north, don't worry. I'll see you at the Wembley gig. And by that, I mean, you can email in questions instead. Now, back to the episode.
Rosie, Kathy, Sadie, Susan.
When I arrived in Windermere, day one of the Great North Swim had just finished amid biblical rains. The lifeguards had returned to their base at Brathay Hall, just north of the lake, and after a well-earned hot meal, Fear was leading the team debrief in a small office room stood next to a discarded flip chart.
Right, hello everybody. This is like the most formal briefing I've done the whole time I've been doing it. I feel like I need a pointer and a map. This is almost like D-Day.
Like all good journalists, I thought I'd sneak in unnoticed to observe the team dynamics and get a feeling as to how the day went and what to expect from day two.
So I just introduce Alexis. Say hello.
Okay, so it seems my undercover skills need some work. But after I sheepishly introduced myself to everyone, Fear continued with the briefing.
First and foremost, thanks ever so much for today, everybody. It was a long, hard day. It was cold and wet and windy. Who'd believe it? This morning, the weather was glorious. Some of us went out for a really beautiful swim, and look at it now. And in the meantime, it's been really wet and windy today. So thanks ever so much for everybody's hard work and trying to... everybody still feels like they're all buzzing and had a good day today. So that was great.
The Great North Swim is a three-day celebration of open water swimming in the heart of the Lake District. There's around 8,000 participants of varying skill and experience, swim distances ranging from 250 metres all the way up to the Olympic marathon distance of 10k. There's also the small matter of a 23-kilometre swim run that goes on all day. It means the lifeguards are in for the long haul, arriving on site not long after 7am and usually not leaving until almost 12 hours later.
Can I just remind people what I said this morning about just making sure that we look after each other? Some people were on boats for a very long time today, and some people were in the water for a very long time today.
Faye was keen to ensure that all the lifeguards were suitably rested, fed, and rotated throughout the day. Their roles range from being at the start line to help people get in and get acclimatised, being in one of the motorboats positioned around the course, or stationed at the finish line to help shattered but overjoyed souls emerge from the water. Then there's the jetty, crackling with walkie-talkies as supervisors keep careful watch overlooking the entire lake. The jetty is where I would find Faye bright and early the next morning, watching over proceedings as the first of 13 waves of participants, some containing over 300 swimmers and all wearing colour-coordinated swim caps, began their swims. To ensure that they didn't have more work to do, Faye's first act was to hand me a life jacket.
We just get you one of these. Water's just below 15 degrees today. The weather's a little bit better than it was yesterday. There's a little bit of crosswind. And then they do a little bit of a warm-up. This lot are due in 9 minutes. And this is people just coming out of the acclimatisation, so they just have a little swim round. So you see the people that are coming in now, they've just done a half mile.
Right.
Today, because the distances are quite short, we get a lot of first-timers, a lot of people that are quite nervous.
The water was calm, the sun was bright, and the sky was clear. The perfect swimming conditions allowed Faye to explain how everything ran like clockwork. But the lifeguards had already been put to work that morning.
We've already had one extraction. So that even didn't even get to that first little floating buoy there. She just said, I just ran out of breath or I was a bit panicky. So that was that. So she was holding on to the kayak. And then what happens is if somebody gets into trouble, they'll put their hand up, the kayaker will go over and find them. But if they say they want to get out, then one of the powerboat comes over and collects them. And then they bring them in here. It's all a team.
Yeah.
We sort of all come together. We don't see each other for a year, and then we all come together and slot into our roles.
Day two featured nearly a dozen half-mile and one-mile swims, finishing with two short 250-metre swims popular with young kids and their parents. Given that many in the water would be new to the sport, it presented a different proposition for the lifeguards from the participants during day one, where the 10K and 5K swimmers tended to be, as you'd expect for such long distances, much more experienced.
When we've got the long swims, there's another boat here that's the feed station, so people can come in, get a drink, get some gels. Mm-hmm. But it's a long time to be out there when it's choppy, the swim's hard work, it's cold, and actually if people are swimming quite slowly, that's when people can start getting into trouble. It was really challenging yesterday, and the weather is everything with open water swimming. The cold water shock response happens to everybody. It doesn't matter how experienced you are, but if you're not experienced, it also means you panic a bit. So people will get in the water and immediately go,
yeah, yeah.
And that's why we say to people, don't jump in, because if you suddenly take an intake of breath and you're under the water, that's never going to end well.
Presumably that's why you do the acclimatisation.
Yeah. So the acclimatisation means that people go, all right, okay, I understand. They get a bit of water in their wetsuit, they get a bit of water on their skin. And it's a really good, safe way to do it. Also, if people don't acclimatise, they generally bunch up at the beginning, and then that's, can be quite difficult. And a mass start. Some people will never have done a mass start before. And if they haven't got themselves positioned right, they've not done it before, they'll get potentially kicked in the face. Competitive people might swim over you. So it can be a real washing machine here.
Right, so in marathons and stuff, you tend to stagger people by, ability and speed and whatnot. Is there any of that today?
No, people will enter a length. They'll say, I want to do a mile, and then they'll just get allocated their mile. So you'll have some people in here that have done this 10 times, some people that have never done it before.
Yeah.
Throughout the day, I noticed how Faye delicately balanced the two sides of her oar. While she was there to coordinate the lifeguards and keep everyone safe, adopting an understandably serious tone when discussing the logistics involved, she also allowed herself regular outbursts of joy that demonstrated the passion for open water swimming that she, quite literally, wears on her sleeve. I got my first glimpse of this as another group entered the water.
I mean, what is there not to love about swimming here?
Yeah, it's something.
It's just incredible. And it just always encouraged people, at some point, stop, take your goggles off and love just swimming here, because it's just so beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, what's immediately striking is the range of ages here. You've got kids, you've got really young kids here.
Yeah, the other thing that I really love about open water swimming is it's so inclusive. It doesn't matter your age, your shape. You know, you haven't got to be an athlete to get in here. In fact, if you've got a little bit of insulation that's cake derived, that's all good.
Yeah.
People that are skinny don't do open water swimming, long distance open water swimming. They don't. That doesn't suit them particularly well.
You need insulation.
It's my excuse. It's my excuse for eating cake.
As Faye told me when we spoke before the event, a good lifeguard is a dry lifeguard. It might sound like an odd concept, but what she means by that is a good lifeguard preempts any danger before it emerges. And with her years of experience, she knows where the trouble spots are and where the lifeguards and boats should be located.
Is there a common kind of area where people tend to get into difficulty most? Is it?
Generally at the beginning and at the end. So at the beginning because it's a bit of a shock, because it might be a bit breezy.
Yeah.
And then at the end because they might get cramp, they might have exerted themselves more than they have done for quite a long time. Or if people have been horizontal for a long time because they've been swimming and then suddenly they get up and they've got their goggles on and they get quite disorientated. So what you see at the end quite a lot is people getting up and then falling back into the water. So that's why we have lifeguards at the end, because we don't want people standing up and then falling over and then injuring themselves.
And within minutes of this group getting into the water, Faye's predictions proved to be bang on. First off, there were a couple of early extractions as some swimmers failed to suitably acclimatise.
Oh, we've got this poor little lamb here who's feeling a little bit not happy. Yeah. But the kayakers are just super, so they spot straight away when somebody's not in a good place. You're okay? You're right? All right. Someone will come and get you. So she's just changed her mind. Just want to clock this lady's number, because I don't think she needs any medical attention, but we just need to report her number in. Are you okay?
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I felt it straight away when I got in, and then my whole body seized up. No, I'm racing the next one with my mum. I was just racing that to see what time I'd get. And I don't know.
So are you going to do the next wave?
Hopefully she'll let me. I might not tell her this happened yet.
The secret's safe with me.
Yeah,
but are you all right?
I'm fine,
did you just have a bit of a panic?
I think I just panicked, and then I couldn't get my breath, and then my whole chest was just like, I couldn't get my, and then everything just seized, even my actually,
but
just
now,
seized up.
Get warm and stay warm.
Yeah.
And then make your mind up of whether you're going to go back in and do the next one. All right.
Yeah.
Take
Thanks.
Care.
Thanks. Cheers.
Then, over at the finish line, three lifeguards, including Faye's husband Andy, were helping a stricken swimmer with a pretty mean bout of cramp in both legs.
Just got something going on here. Probably this is somebody with a cramp that can't stand up.
All right, okay, yeah, someone's literally just finished. And they're struggling to get out of the water. They've got a couple of lifeguards there.
Yeah.
There's Andy going
in. Unfortunately, if people get cramp in both legs, it's a real struggle. You can see that they're holding her leg.
God,
so
she's coming out, yeah.
Sheila. So there's St John's ambulance at the top here. So they will come down and help them out. But it can be very painful. We had a guy that we extracted yesterday. He had cramp in both of his legs and we couldn't get him out of the boat because it was just so painful for him. So it's just quite hard.
Let's get one thing right here. Cramp isn't fun at the best of times. But if you get it when running or playing football, you can just stop, sit down and recover. So getting it in the water is an altogether more scary experience. I wanted to make that clear, because the other thing is, as a spectator sport, watching somebody endure cramp so bad they're swearing their head off as they're physically carried out of the water is, I'll be honest, and I do feel bad about this, weirdly entertaining.
So this poor woman is really struggling.
It's a long time to have a cramp.
Yeah.
But while it's understandable that a focus on lifeguards is going to disproportionately feature the swimmers who've not had the day they've hoped for, being there in person allowed me to witness the good news stories that day, which were by far the majority. The overall atmosphere was positively, and I make absolutely no excuses for this pun, buoyant.
People singing as they're swimming.
Yeah, I get
the party. It's a party where you just happen to swim.
The real question is, will they be singing when they get out?
Probably.
Yeah? Fair play.
I was on the boat a couple of years ago, and there was a group of women, and they were swimming, but they were really swimming quite slowly, and I could see by the colour of their hats what time they'd set off, and I was thinking, you know, they could be getting a little bit chilly. So we went over, and I sort of said to them, are you all right, ladies? And they said, yep, no husbands, no children, we're going to stay in here as long as we like.
But there were also reminders that people were here for more than just a Saturday swim.
You know, people will be swimming for charity. Last year, there was a woman that had a T-shirt on, and she had a photograph on the front of a young lad. And I said to her, what's all this about? And she told me this absolutely heartbreaking story of her nephew that had died when he was 20 or something. And we both ended up standing here in tears. I said, you better get in.
Faye's willingness and eagerness to interact with the participants meant that on several occasions, she recognised the happy faces of returning regulars.
So there's a guy with a purple hat there.
Yeah.
People, if they say that they've got maybe a disability or they need a little bit more support, they're allocated a purple hat.
Right.
That's really helpful for us.
Sure.
And for the kayakers. We have people here that are amputees. They turn up in a wheelchair. They might have walking sticks. This guy, we're very familiar with this guy, so he is partially sighted.
Right.
So he comes every single year, so we know him well.
Several swimmers even made a point of approaching Faye before or during their swim to say hello. And you can hear in her voice how happy it makes her.
Hey, are you all right, my love?
Everything,
you know. How are you?
Good. I'm representing the Dunnes as well, you know.
The same people come back every year and you chat. I gave him a bit of help last year because it was his first time and he's come back.
Oh,
and that's
nice.
So heart. And this is exactly why we do it. It's so heartwarming.
Yeah, he actually sorted you out there.
Yeah. Oh, it's so nice. So lovely. And this is the whole thing, you know, to get people doing something that we love and then they come back and they do it. He was so nervous last year. And now he's back, and like you were saying, he's particularly saying, you know, trying to find out where we are to say hello. And
as the mid-morning sun reflected off the lake, cradled by rolling green hills and containing hundreds of brightly coloured heads bobbing energetically in these beautiful surroundings, I began to get an understanding as to why you might choose to give up your weekends to spend it here. Especially if your skill set allows thousands of others to enjoy nature in ways they maybe wouldn't feel confident to do so without this life-jacketed human safety net. And Faye certainly has an impressive skill set. As well as her strengths in the water, wait till you hear what she does for a day job.
So I'm Deputy Director of Security Liaison for the Royal Household.
That silence? That was me wondering what I could get away with asking about a job and the Royal Family.
Everybody has a day job and they come and do this.
That must be interesting.
And that silence, that was Faye providing my answer, as she gave me a look that said, yes, it is interesting, and I'm certainly not telling this plonker with a microphone a thing about it. Instead, Faye was much happier talking about the backgrounds of those on her team.
We've got people that come from all walks of life, they come from all over the country, and it's people with all sorts of experiences, and you know, people that are retired, we've got people that are students, and then they do lifeguarding and they come and do this. But it broadens their lifeguarding experience, it makes them feel more confident, about their own swimming and what they do, and just enables them to talk to other lifeguards. And I mean, yesterday was cold and windy and wet, could have been thoroughly miserable, but when we did the briefing last night, everybody's buzzing and they just love it. There's definitely something missing with these people. There is something odd about us.
She told me about Robin, a lifeguard from India,
Robin is here with us for the first time. He's been over in the UK for about 2-3 years, I think. He's from Jaipur.
Oh, okay.
I don't know, the journey from Jaipur to swimming in Windermere, I'm not quite sure how that happens, yeah, but he has.
She told me about the lifeguard who moonlights as a 60s Swedish pop star.
One of our lifeguards, he usually comes for 1 or 2 days, but he's in an ABBA tribute band.
So oh, wow.
He left this morning because he had a gig tonight.
And most improbably, she told me about the lifeguard who happens to be a mythical sea creature.
Tasha is a professional mermaid. So she...
She wanted me to make of that.
No, exactly. All life is here.
Yeah, no, it is.
Clearly, the diversity on shore here is not only among the participants, but also within Vay's eclectic team. And so, while they try to enjoy a well-earned lunch break, I set off to pester a few of them at Lifeguard HQ. And I'll let you guess who the first person was that I bumped into.
Awesome. I've come to pester some people.
Yeah, I can pester some people.
Who fancies speaking to me?
The mermaid.
You're the mermaid. Faye mentioned the mermaid. She said all walks of life are here. We've even got a mermaid. How's that come about?
I'm a professional mermaid, yeah.
Work. Professional mermaid?
Yep.
Well, I've got two daughters, they'll be over the moon.
So it started as teaching qualifications. So right. I teach children how to swim in monofins and tail and everything. And then I was scrolling through Facebook one night and I saw a competition, Miss Mermaid UK. I was at the upper end of the age group and I thought, if I'm going to do this, I need to do it now, otherwise I haven't got an opportunity to do it. I've never done pageants in my life. 36 years old, I thought, why not? I'll give it a try. And I won. And then I won the title for Miss Mermaid Scotland and went to Egypt and competed at Miss Mermaid International. Yeah, and then went to Egypt for 2 weeks, went mermaids from all over the world and had the best 2 weeks ever with a bunch of women that I never thought I'd come across.
Yeah. I've got to mention the hair because obviously this is all on audio.
Green hair, yeah.
Yeah, we've got green, we've got a bit of blue.
Green, blue,
there's
yeah.
a lot going on here. It's
going in there, yeah.
Yeah, it's good. Sticking with the aqua theme.
Yeah.
And so how long have you been doing the lifeguarding?
Lifeguarding, 23 years.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, started when I was 17. But open water stuff, only just over a year now.
So what's your role been today? Have you been out on the boat?
I've been out on the boat this morning. Yeah, I've just come off, so we're at 9 o'clock this morning. Just
any incidents, any issues?
I've lost count this morning.
Really?
Yeah, I think I've had about 8 or 9.
Is that usual, is it?
I think I've just had the juju this morning, and I've just been at the wrong place at the right time all morning.
Yeah, and are you back out there this afternoon?
Yeah, I'm hoping to swim this afternoon as well.
Oh, you're going to swim as well?
Yeah, I hope to do a swim, although it's quite choppy, and because I've had so many rescues, it's the world trying to say, don't get in the water today, Tash.
Yeah, well, it does look choppy now, because I was there this morning, and it's
wind right, picked up.
It's definitely picked up
Exactly. That's how I feel at the time.
Yeah. Well, with that wetsuit on, getting out.
Yeah, I normally swim in a wetsuit anyway.
No
pail today, no.
Oh, that's a shame. That would have been nice.
If there was no wind and it was bright sunshine, I might have done a little thing with the rookies and whatnot, but not today.
Unlike Faye, whose lifeguarding journey began in cold and unforgiving open waters, several of the team are full-time swimming pool lifeguards, more used to the waveless and warm waters of a leisure centre and drawn to volunteering at the Great North Swim for a change of scenery. Think back to our yawning lifeguard in Rio, and it's understandable they'd want to test their skills in a new environment. Like Nicola, who was next to walk into the hut. Not only had she never lifeguarded at an open water event before, but she'd literally just emerged from her first ever open water swim.
Enjoyed it, definitely do it again. I'm glad I didn't go any further, to be honest. I mean, there's the cold, there's the wind. Don't train in a pool if you want to do this. So I noticed like everything you're used to, like going fast and being streamlined, you're not even being used to wetsuits. This is a bit of drag. It's great.
Yeah.
The thermals, but it drags you as well. So you're so used to the environment of being fast and being the time, but this is the opposite. So you really need to pace yourself. So yeah, it's a good learning experience.
Yeah, well done.
It was one of those like you want to take in the views, but at the same time, no, it's too cold. I've got to keep moving.
Yeah.
Returning outside, I bumped into Sean and Ollie, two lads from Manchester who are a year into their careers as pool lifeguards and who saw the event as simply a good way to spend quality time with your mate, contrasting with the solitude often felt sat alone at poolside. Oh, and I should say, in case it sounds like I'm trying to do an iffy Chris Evans tribute, it's worth pointing out here that the TFI Friday theme music appears to be the event DJ's favourite song.
Just here out of fun, really. Yeah. Like, it's a chance to do something a bit different as well.
Come to a lake, enjoy the weather, or not enjoy the weather in some cases.
Yeah. Well, it's prettier than Manchester, let's be honest.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, you've got great views, you'll see a lot of people accomplish some things.
I'd noticed Sean and Ollie earlier on the exit that morning, helping the finisher who'd been stricken with that terrible cramp.
You get a lot of them that don't want the help and then they realise they can't stand up and they're like, oh wait, no, I do
fall
need
back
it.
In. Yeah. The thing that struck me when I first got here this morning, obviously it's physically tiring, especially you're pulling people up.
But
actually mentally, because you're just constantly like, it's just all these heads bobbing, like different coloured heads, you know, just like popping up and down. And they go so far in the distance, it's a bit of a, I was like, geez, it's quite overwhelming when you first get here.
We're used to scanning for hours, you know, watching people, watching little kids, babies, you know.
Yeah.
So you kind of get used to it and you're a little bit...
People's behaviour.
Yeah, like being vigilant's not as sort of energy consuming and things because you're so used to doing it. So like, it looks like it's a lot harder than it is because you're not used to it.
You must become like... you know, experts on like human behaviour and little tells where you go, he's going to struggle. She's
just by a look, you could generally like, or how they act, like where they walk, and how they get in, anything. Like, it all comes with experience, really.
Yeah,
you're supposed to preempt everything, so you do really pick up on sort of little demeanours of people.
Then, as I made my way back to the jetty, I met another lifeguard with an interesting story to tell.
Oh, hi, my name is Gilly MacArthur. I live in Kendal and I'm a cold water swim coach and lifeguard and rock climber.
Fab. So you live, you're
I live like there. 8 miles from here, yeah.
Amazing. So how many times have you done this?
None.
This is your first?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Debut. I'm very new to this.
Have you swum it though?
No, I don't do competitive swimming.
Right.
So I'm a swim coach, but I get people into very cold water and ice water for well-being. So in September, I'm going to be running trials for the NHS here in social prescribing cold water for well-being to alleviate depression and anxiety.
Although Gilly freely admitted that competitive mass participation swims were not her bag, much preferring the more serene experience of swimming alone or with small groups, being so close to the event intrigued her enough to give it a go. But she was originally only down to do one day. So I asked her why she'd come back for more.
Do you know what? I was wondering that this morning. It was like 7 o'clock this morning. And I was like, why am I getting out of my lovely warm bed to come and stand in a literally, like, actually cold water lake for like 10 hours? And I haven't quite worked that out yet, but...
But when you do, come and tell me.
No, do you know what? I know what it is. For me, and I guess because I'm more into this sort of stuff as a sort of connection to each other thing. What's lovely about this is what there's 7,000 or 10,000 swimmers this weekend. There's something really nice about doing things together and understanding that we're all sort of the same. And I think that's why I'm doing it. It's like everyone's here, everyone's got a different story to what brought them to the water's edge. But all those stories have got a common thread, which is that we're all just human and we're all just trying to be better people. So that's why I came here today, just to kind of affirm that. And it's nice to give back, do you know what I mean?
It's
nice to do something.
Get some karma points.
Get some karma points.
More
people should volunteer because there's so much that you get out of it. And it takes you out of your own head and it gives you this lovely empathy about other people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's important about volunteering.
I guess the other thing as well is there is, you know, a fair amount of responsibility on your shoulders.
You're
looking after everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you're on hand should anything happen.
Yeah, and we've fished out a lot of people. Yeah, it's been good, you know, and we've been needed. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're standing here in this forest. If I go back into the water now, I know that there's going to be people that are going to need a helping hand or a bit of a reassuring word that it's okay and everything's fine and it's nice, you know. And then, do you know what? I think it's just that thing of keeping everything light. Like, everything in life is quite heavy. For a lot of people, being in the outdoors is risky, but it's not risky if you do it in the right way. And this event is the right way to do it, you know, and that's why we're here today. It's nice the sun's come out because it is, I feel like I do have trench foot at the moment because my feet are like white wrinkled prunes in my shoes. But that's all part of the volunteering joy.
Will you be coming back next year, directly?
I will, I will. Do you know what? I wrote a thing on Instagram today about my reflections from yesterday, and it hasn't made me want to do any mass participation swims. I like swimming by myself or with a couple of other people, but I can see the joy that these people are getting from it. So I'll come back next year and volunteer.
Yeah.
But I've got no rush to get into human soup.
Yeah, Which is interesting though, because you're quite happy just being, you know, on the outside, watching everybody have fun. It's just one of the key things. You need to have people like that.
Yeah.
You think there's some people there who'd hate to do what you're doing. Totally. They need to be in amongst it.
Totally, yeah.
Having that kind of like...
And I just like, it's nice to watch, and I'll go and have a nice swim later with the ducks.
Lovely.
Further down the lake by myself, so yeah.
Enjoy that.
Thanks.
Feeling suitably energised by Gilly's positive worldview, I thought it was best that I head back to the jetty to get an update on Crampgate. And just as I got there, Faye's husband Andy turned up to say that she'd made a full recovery and to confirm that I wasn't a monster for finding her ordeal an entertaining watch. Okay, so he didn't say that second bit, but it was definitely implied.
That poor woman with that cramp. She just couldn't move, could she?
No, she was quite a while.
Poor woman.
We tried to move her. I did get her laughing. I think you've just done this to get Gordon, who's quite a good-looking young man, to massage your...
Oh, I see.
We saw it from here. She's getting a massage.
Yeah. Poor woman.
Andy is a towering former cottler of 30 years who, with a glint in his eye, suggested on at least three occasions during the day that I was more than welcome to get in the water if I wished. I did not. I think I mumbled something about audio equipment and water.
Robin
was in them yesterday.
You've started already.
I've been here about 2 hours, haven't you? Still bone dry.
You're determined. I'm worried.
And I had every right to be worried. One look at the agitated lake suggested the calm morning conditions were becoming a distant memory. It prompted a reminder that, for the lifeguards here, it's not always a case of treating cramps, shouting encouragement, and threatening to dunk podcasters. As the conditions worsened, a tough afternoon lay in store. Back after this short break. If you like the stories we tell on the Unsung podcast, then make sure to sign up for our off-field newsletter. We bring you monthly tales from the fringes of sport and society. The untold and unsung. In other words, the things and people you don't usually read about. You'll also stay up to date with our latest storytelling projects in audio, digital and print. Subscribe for free over at off-field.net. For all that the vibrant atmosphere at the Great North Swim that morning suggested the lifeguards were enjoying themselves as much as the swimmers, they never allowed their level of vigilance to dip. More than anyone else, lifeguards know that complacency and water can prove a lethal combination. And so, while cases of cramp, panic or discomfort can be dealt with fairly simply by this well-drilled crew, they know only too well to stay focused should something more serious happen. It's rare, but as Faye told me before my trip to Windermere, they do happen.
Your sort of description of this really bored lifeguard, your days can be really long and really boring and wet and windy or hot, and then within a millisecond, something happens and you've got to be on it. You know, that has happened 2 or 3 times. 1 minute you might be chatting to swimmers and saying, oh, have a nice swim, isn't it lovely? And, you know, chat. And the next minute you're being alerted to a medical emergency and you are part of a team that is responding to basically save somebody's life. It really brings it home to the reason you're there. I think on 2 occasions I've been at a swim where it would appear a swimmer's had a heart attack in the water. So you don't really want to have a heart attack in the water. However, if you're going to have a heart attack where you've got more medics than probably are in the local hospital.
Those things, sadly, they do happen. They are rare. And when they do happen, the procedure to get them out and to get them the best medical care, whether it be that initial first aid or that sort of longer term intervention, is there right on the doorstep. And it's a very, very well run, and those procedures are well practiced.
And that's what makes it safe and swimmable, and, you know, it reassures people.
As you heard in that clip, I'd mentioned to Faye about that photo of the infamous lifeguard in Rio. To many, his presence was about as useful as an inflatable dartboard. But back at Windermere, Faye told me that she'd lifeguarded at several events featuring competitive athletes, including the Thames Marathon and the Henley Regatta. And she knew why a lifeguard should always be on hand, regardless of the skill levels of those in the water.
Yeah, I was wondering what the difference was between sort of being a lifeguard at an event like this, where you've obviously got a real range of abilities, and then being a lifeguard at where you've got, you know, you get like the triathlons and like the longest, the marathon swimmers, that kind of thing, where
you've obviously got to look for different signs. That's those are the events where they're not going to raise their arm. They're not going to say, I'm in trouble here.
No. And I think, and of course, there's a lot more at stake for them.
Yeah.
For all sorts of reasons. You know, they might be training for something. They might be looking to, you know, track down a time. You know, they are much more experienced in what they do, but that doesn't mean that they can't get tired, they can't get injured, they can't get cramped, all of those sorts of things. So, but they know their bodies much better, but equally then they push themselves more. And sometimes that can be a good thing. Sometimes, you know, that can be not such a good thing.
Given the changing conditions so typical of the Lake District, it looked like it was going to be a busy afternoon for Faye's team. A bit of wind had picked up, low-lying clouds swaddled the sun, and those beautiful green hills could barely be seen behind a fine mist. The low visibility would demand the ultimate concentration from the lifeguards and rescue kayakers, just as the quickening currents on Lake Windermere demanded more from those negotiating it. With the lifeguards and safety teams on high alert, one lifeguard, Tracy, came by to tell us that her fourth outing at the Great North Swim had been her busiest so far, allowing Faye to dish out some volunteer bants.
3 years, one extraction, and today six. So I'm working for people in a day.
Six in a day?
Yeah, well, that's a lot for me. It's not for some people.
I'll double your salary.
Thank you. Not triple.
Oh, go on. Thank you. You can have a day off on Monday, Tracy.
As Andy arrived to take up the spot on the jetty, with Faye set to take a shift at the entrance, the conditions in the water were clearly worsening.
It's really you can tell from the kayakers are working harder now.
Yeah, they're to work hard just to stay in one place.
Look at it. It's probably the choppiest it's been since, well, today at least.
Yeah, that wind certainly picked up. Well, you can see a white crest.
Yeah.
And then you sort of get up here, and then as soon as you turn across, it's not so bad.
Earlier, Andy had joked that he'd only really taken up open water swimming and lifeguarding to keep his beloved wife happy.
They started doing swim events, so like Windermere, and I'd come along and I'd probably stand at the side for 3 hours, and in the end I thought I might as well get in.
But speaking to Andy now, after he'd already got his feet wet several times today, it was clear that he shared Faye's passion for helping others achieve important milestones.
I think it was last year, I was on the exit, and a guy came out and he'd done the mile. And I was chatting, he was, you know, struggling to stand up. And I was saying to him, you know, well done, you know, great effort and all this. He said, oh, you don't know what this means to me. I said, oh, well, what's your story? And he was saying that just before COVID, he'd put in, he was open water swimmer, put in for the 10K. Then he got COVID and he properly got in. Ended up in hospital where he got sepsis and then ended up doing some sort of treatment for that as well. Then they found out he got bowel cancer while they were in there wriggling about. Anyway, he'd had a shocking history of, you know, one thing after the other. And he said, this has been my first event since then, and I was determined to do the mile. And he'd done it. By the time he'd finished, he's in tears, I'm in tears.
I bet.
And he just...
Corey, he's just telling you this at the end of it?
Yeah, just standing over there as I was trying to help him out of the water.
Yeah. Class.
There was around an hour left to go in a day that had seen around 40 extractions in total. Andy reckoned that was a little above normal. No doubt a result of the tricky conditions that had seen a number of cases of cramp, cold water shock, and an asthma attack. But thankfully, nothing more serious. And although the final two waves were the shortest of the day at 250 metres, the lake was at its most uncompromising, and the swimmers the least experienced, consisting mainly of young kids with their parents. So before that began, I wanted to grab a quick chat with one lifeguard who'd been on the boats most of the day. That was Becky Ellis, who also happens to be in charge of recruiting lifeguards for the Royal Life Saving Society.
So I'm recruiting volunteers for the lifeguard teams, but I also get to work as a lifeguard myself because I've got the qualifications. As you can see, the weather, you know, the conditions can change on a... Well, I say more than an hourly basis. It can change every few minutes. Yeah. And last year, you know, swimmers had a completely different swim to this year's swimmers. And it can vary from swim to swim. But I like the fact that it gives everyone a chance to have a swim, an open water swim in a safe environment, and that's what the Royal Life Saving Society is all about. Yeah. It is all about educating people and spreading the word on how to enjoy water safely and to prevent drownings, basically, because sadly so many still happen in our country. It's about creating that awareness so that children, families, everybody knows how to stay safe in and around the water, basically. Yeah. And this sort of typifies that, you know, this would not be possible without the whole of the team here all looking after those swimmers. So yeah, it's lovely to be part of it. So I'd always encourage people to volunteer. You get a lot out of it.
Are you finding that the number of volunteers is going up? Is it a bit stagnant?
I'd say probably it's getting harder, and it may, I don't know if that's just from my side of things, and it feels like it is. And I said, I don't know if it's because, you know, people are struggling with time, money, which we get, you know, people have got lots of other obligations. And maybe they're fearful of thinking they've got to give too much time, or they're not qualified in X, Y, and Z. But we'll always help with that where we can. If people want to get qualified as an open water lifeguard and they can commit, there's always a way we'll help them cover that cost, you know. So there's always different ways to get involved.
Yeah. Then, just as Becky was giving some credit to the hard-working rescue kayakers who were beyond the reach of my microphone, Andy dashed over to get Becky back on one of the boats as the kids were about to enjoy or endure a cold water baptism.
Not always.
Oh, they need you back. Yeah. Thank you. Sorry for dragging.
I returned to join Andy on the jetty as dozens of kids prepared to make their tentative first steps into the lake.
I mean, this is the next generation now, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is the legacy of the event.
I think it's lovely when they get this with the kids and the parents. But it's not unusual, like we had this morning, when actually once it goes, you get that mass of people going to the water, which is quite intimidating. You get a few new kids still.
Yeah.
No, we do it.
Do you tend to find that you've got to be a bit more vigilant with the younger ones then?
Yeah, definitely.
And then in they went. It prompted an all-hands-on-deck moment from the lifeguarding team, leaving this useless reporter alone to watch the action unfold. Every available boat sprang into action. Kayakers paddled faster and harder than they'd done all day, and every lifeguard was on hand to pluck out an increasing number of kids who were soon realising that negotiating a cold and feisty Windermere was a lot tougher than tackling the leisure centre's wave machine. But don't take my word for it. You'll remember Gilly from earlier, the serene cold water queen. Well, here's how she described it as she dashed past me.
It's like fucking, just like fucking hell.
Next wave in. Is this the last one of the day?
Yeah.
It was time for the last group to go in. And while kids as young as 6 were entering the water, it was apt that the final entrant was an elderly lady with a walking stick, helped into the water by the ever-willing Sean and Ollie. As frantic lifeguards buzzed around to a soundtrack of squeals, giggles and, of course, the TFI Friday theme tune, it was truly a scene of beautiful mania. It prompted the DJ to offer one final tribute to the team behind the scenes of the Great North Swim.
And of course, the people who truly need this at Great North Swim, looking out for you, are our paddle drivers, our medics, our lifeguards, and our kayakers. Let's give them a long lap. Send them a big cheer, everyone. We did an amazing job.
But while the cold water kids had been successfully shepherded around the lake with nothing more serious than a few tears and tantrums, the day wasn't quite over for this hard-working team of water guardians. All that was separating them from a richly deserved hot meal and cold pint were a handful of stragglers yet to finish their mile swim. So while some binoculared lifeguards kept watch over the remaining half a dozen or so, I found another of Faye's cast of characters that I was keen to speak to. It was Robin, the young man from India.
How was your swim?
Very nice, very cold, very, very amazing.
Just how you like it, eh?
Yeah. It took me a while to get the heat back, but worth it.
Yeah.
Totally worth it.
And it's whereabouts in India are you from?
Jaipur. Have you heard of Rajasthan?
Yeah. Rajasthan Royals.
I'm from the very city where their home ground is based.
Ah, right, okay.
Yeah.
So do you do much swimming out there?
Oh, yeah. I used to do it competitively there, but then in COVID, I decided to pursue academics.
Despite how it sounds, I hadn't sought out Robin to test my knowledge of IPL cricket. You see, as well as being a part-time lifeguard at the University of Birmingham, Robin has a master's in psychology, and he's eyeing up a PhD in the topic too. So I thought his academic expertise might help to further explain the psychology around volunteering to scurry around freezing water all day without being paid a dime.
You do psychology?
I am doing psychology. I want to do sports psychology. So.
Right, okay.
See, let's see.
So what's the psychology around volunteers doing this kind of thing, do you think?
I think, it's not a... Because I've studied psychology, just by basic observation, you can simply tell that I think the most people drive pleasure from is helping others. And when you help others, you make an event like this successful. You're like, yeah, that's, you know, I've made a mark. Now you know that you've worked in an event where kind of handle around 6,000, 7,000 people in 3 days, which is quite a lot of amount. I mean, for me, I think I've done my share of holding hands, shaking hands for the whole year, the amount of people I've helped them out. But yeah, it's totally worth it when they come out, when they go in, when they say thank you. And plus, it's fun. It's, you can't really, you know, define why exactly, but I think just they all love water, being around water, and this activity, I think, is a perfect excuse to be around water and help people. So, because I love working with people, I love meeting new people and, you know, new experiences. So sign up. I receive email from Becky, and yeah, then I'm here, and I'm like, yeah, I can work it out, and it's really one of the best decisions I've made so far this year.
Yeah, great.
As I finished chatting to Robin, I heard a gentle commotion by the finish line. Some of the lifeguards, including Andy, Becky, Ollie, Sean, and of course, Faye, had gathered to welcome the last swimmers across the line. And if you're still wondering why these lifeguards do what they do, listen to this contagious bout of joy as the final participants, two women in their 50s, emerged from the water in fits of giggles, which quickly spread across the shore. The last two swimmers were also greeted by a couple of their friends who, as you can hear, were starting to get a bit concerned as to their whereabouts.
You are feeling shitting ourselves! And you are!
A bit of a calling search and rescue. They were so worried about them, they've been out there for
2.5 hours.
Doing a mile.
For a mile?
They don't seem particularly distressed, do they?
No, they don't. Been chatting all the way around,
eh? Yeah.
I said, well, that's that one.
Can't get out until you've done your second lap. Off you go, ladies.
Turn around.
Andy might have been joking about the swimmers going around for another go, but for the lifeguards, they would be back again the very next day to do it all again.
Do it all again tomorrow?
Yep.
Right. Yeah.
So stamina, you lot, mate.
I don't know what keeps us going.
But
we do, don't we?
Yeah.
I was chatting to Robin there. He says he's studying psychology.
Oh, yeah?
I said that puts him in a good place to work out why you do what you do. And even he was like, I'm not really sure.
So when you've asked people why, have you actually found out why? Yeah.
Well, Robin was saying you do get a sense of... achievement and you know, out of just helping other people, you know, it's like it's not a tangible thing, you call it, you know, it's not like monetary.
It's quite emotional.
I've had
a couple of ladies get out just absolutely break down when they came out, and it just honestly just makes you cry. You're like standing there going,
it dawned on me that for the lifeguards, they're not just here to keep a watchful eye on the masses of swimmers navigating Lake Windermere. They're here to play a key part in the thousands of individual journeys, offering understated support as each swimmer conquers not only the lake, but their own doubts and fears, as they complete personal triumphs that will stay with them for a lifetime. The following day will bring new faces, new stories, new climates, and new challenges. And for Faye and her dedicated team, new reasons to return to this beautiful expanse of water in the Cumbrian Hills. With the last swimmers out the water, I walked with Faye back to the hut so that I could say my goodbyes to the crew. In stark contrast to the torrential rain the evening before, the sun shone bright in the sky and the deserted lake was once again calm. As we walked, I decided it was now safe to remove my life jacket. grateful that I hadn't needed it despite Andy's repeated attempts. After all, they say a good journalist is a dry one. Which is probably why I didn't spot the guy outside the hut who was spraying down a load of equipment with a power hose. More importantly, he didn't notice me either. Hopefully Faye will forgive me for what can only be described as commentator's curse.
Well, hopefully you'll be drier getting back than you were yesterday.
Yes, I think so.
Whoa!
Ooh, hello!
Nearly got
it.
I'm just... I've just said at least you won't be going home wet today. cursed that one, didn't I?
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to Unsung. Many thanks to Faye, Andy and the rest of the lifeguarding team for having me tag along as they went about their work with such diligence and expertise. My thanks also to the Royal Lifesaving Society for their help and support, and of course to the organisers at the Great North Swim for letting me come along. If you fancy entering the Great North Swim next summer, do check out the link to register in the show notes. And for any listeners who might fancy the gig as a volunteer lifeguard, we've got info on that in the show notes as well. This episode of Unsung was written and narrated by me, Alexis James, and produced by Matt Cheney. Artwork by Matt Walker, and the executive producer is Sam Barry. Unsung is an off-field production, bringing you the untold and unsung in audio, digital, and print. To enjoy more of our storytelling, head to off-field.net. Catch you next time on Unsung.